Our community connection puts the focus on dementia care and caregivers in a special forum this month. Barbara Van Nortwick and Connie DeLego of the newly formed Monroe County Dementia Coalition joined Samantha Holbert of the Community Foundation of Monroe County to explain the importance of dementia awareness for families and caregivers.
Barbara Van Nortwick, who is a professional in the field, contacted me after meeting with an attorney and an accountant and said, I want to start a nonprofit called the Monroe County Dementia Coalition. We created a non-endowed fund agreement. And so we act as basically a fiscal sponsor for the organization. Sponsorships can come in and we hold the money and it's in a separate account for their purposes. And then we can pay expenses out of that fund. And it allowed her to start doing the work that she wanted to do almost immediately.
Barbara, tell us about the need for something like this.
Most of my work as an occupational therapist has been in Sussex County and Warren County, New Jersey. I taught classes on skills of how to work with people that have dementia at Newton Medical Center in Newton, New Jersey, using the positive approach to care, which is the Tipa Snow method. Tipa Snow is an occupational therapist, and she has a business, positive approach to care, and she trains individuals on how to work with people that have dementia to make it a win-win for both parties. So I thought, I'll get on the Monroe County Area Agency on Aging. You have to be approved by the Monroe County commissioners to get on the advisory board. I was approved, went to a couple meetings, and I'm going, not much going on here in the county for people that have dementia and their caregivers, and that's kind of hard. And then I met Connie DeLego, who was sitting across from me at one of the meetings, and we would listen to what was going on and kind of look at each other and kind
roll
of
our eyes.
roll our eyes and frown and go, you know, like, what? And then we decided, oh, we're going to chat. And Connie started telling me about her background.
I retired from Plymouth, Massachusetts. I was the director of elder affairs. I ran a very large senior center there. And I did have a lot of interaction with people that had dementia or with their caregivers. So we got into a conversation. She mentioned Tipa Snow. And I said, oh, Tipa. I love Tipa because I also was familiar with her and had been through some of her conferences and everything. We decided that let's do something for the dementia. She was at that point trying to get the funding, how we were going to be a nonprofit, and that's how we met Sam. And so that's how the whole thing began.
It seems everything was falling in its proper place. You met at a meeting. You both felt the need for more awareness about dementia. But could you help us understand what dementia is, what it does, and how we might be able to help someone that may be suffering with dementia?
A person can develop dementia years before it really shows its ugly head. Easy things to do will become harder. When the forgetting becomes interfering with your daily routine, some things that occur is leaving the stove on and burning up the pots. Something simple as leaving lights on in the house when they should be off. Getting your checkbook, for those of us who still do checks and want to balance it out, can become a problem. Paying double and then realizing at the end of the month you don't have that money. Missing appointments. And then when it gets to the point as to why am I here in this room? But when you come into why am I in this room and you don't know why you're in this room, and sometimes that creates some anxiety, then that could be the beginning of cognitive decline.
Many seniors are by themselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe their children are out of the state or in a space where they don't have access to them quickly.
No.
So what should we do as good neighbors or individuals that maybe know that this person is alone and has children? What could we do to try to be of help to them when we start to see signs that maybe their children should intervene?
Mm-hmm. Awareness.
Yeah, to become a dementia-aware person. And to become dementia-aware is something that everyone should really seek out information and to seek out classes. If the neighbor hasn't picked up their newspaper, I would hope the neighbor would go and check anyway, because there could be something worse. And to know who your neighbors are, be aware maybe of your neighbor's pattern. Have an idea of when they come and go. Because if there's a change in that, that could mean that maybe something's going on. They're missing appointments. Ask if they need anything from the store, and maybe you could go and help them out a little bit if they're having trouble getting out and about. And if you see where their routine is not what it should be, then maybe that might be something.
It might be a good idea also, with that connection with your neighbor, is to know their family, who to get in touch with. Yeah. It's a 911 call at sometimes, depending on what you find out. But it would be good to know the next one to call and alert them. I think there's something going on with Mom, mm-hmm. and this is what I see. Maybe you should come by and check her.
You have worked, Connie, with the elderly for mm-hmm. a long time. Tell us about what you see, about the different types of dementia.
I will tell you what I see, but Barbara can explain that I'm still in the learning process of all the dementias. But ultimately, my mother developed dementia. They called it at the time hardening of the arteries.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I was living with my oldest sister, and she was a nurse. I can remember the agony she went through deciding to put my mother in a nursing home. But that was all she could do. My mom was wandering. She'd get on a bus and go somewhere. Fortunately, she had something with her name on it because we would get called. But it was pretty awful. She thought I was a cousin from Dorchester. When I was working at the center, we often had people come in. Social workers would come up and say, I'm a little bit concerned about this person. So we would notify a family member and try to get some action taken and help for them. And ultimately, we also started support groups at the center, just becoming more aware and trying to help other people understand. We didn't have the support groups like Barbara has now. At the time, they didn't. And getting information for their caregivers was a little bit more difficult. We didn't have the right avenues at that point in time. It's all changed now, thank God. It's much better. But different types of dementia and recognizing them, that's a trick.
Barbara, could you label some of the things we should be aware of?
There's approximately 120 plus different types of brain change. The most prevalent is Alzheimer's disease. That's the largest. Then there's a Lewy body disease, what Robin Williams had. Then there's frontal temporal disease, what Bruce Willis has. And then there's vascular dementia. They attack the brain differently. They present differently. The trajectory of decline is different. When a person says, oh, well, they have cognitive decline, or they have brain change, or a dementia, it's more to it than just, oh, they have. Knowing what kind of dementia the person has helps the person, providing they have awareness, will have an idea as to what to expect. Will they remember what to expect as the dementia progresses? Will the caregiver have better recognition as to what to do and how to help and what resources need to be gotten? Yes. I had a client who had a Lewy body. He'd had some anger issues, and we would be working on some anger issues, how he could help himself when he felt getting very angry. And he was still cognitively able to do the tasks. And so we would be talking, and all of a sudden there would be silence. And I would say, are you okay? He'd go, yeah, just a minute. He goes, it's Mr. Lewy. So he gave his dementia a name, Mr. Lewy. And he recognized that he couldn't get the word, but he told me, just wait. So we sat there in silence for about, you know, a minute, which can be uncomfortable. But then all of a sudden you go, there it is, I have it. And then we could move on. But learning the patience to allow them to figure out what it is, because they are processing. And if you're throwing words out to them, hoping that you're going to give them a clue, you're just adding more processing on top of the processing on top of the processing.
You're confusing them.
Yeah, because they're working on that one word. With brain change, okay, when you're first diagnosed early on, so you have four words, you will only be able to process three. As the dementia progresses, you process two down to one. And so what you need to rely on then is pointing, gestures, because the words are lost and nouns are usually the first things to go. You need to increase the time slow down the speech, offer either this or that, or gesture and point.
Aside from this slow decline, you also have the individual who is caring for them. And I want to get into the caregiver's role, because the caregivers are looking at changes that they didn't expect.
Right.
Things that are manifesting that they've never seen before. So this is the reason why this coalition was formed. Samantha, have you seen an increase in the interest in wanting to know more about dementia since the coalition has been formed?
As the Community Foundation, which is still relatively new, started, it was all about getting the word out, connecting. And in the last year, we've been approached by Pocono Area Senior Alliance, which is a new fund working through us that meets monthly, and that's Everything Senior, an elder abuse task force that had an Elder Justice Day that was very well attended. And that was all about educating seniors and helping them so they aren't taken advantage of, et cetera. Also, the Dementia Coalition. There's a larger increase in people turning 65 and over than children being born. So the needs for seniors have been tremendous. And it's been wonderful hearing the stories of people. And even with me talking to individuals in the community, it seems like everyone you talk to has been impacted in some way by a parent, a grandparent, et cetera.
Let's get back to the caregiving, because this is huge when you have an individual at home and you're trying to figure out, what do I do to try to help them? So can you give us some ideas as to what are the steps one needs to go through to address the fact that this individual has dementia, and what are my coping strategies?
Yeah. The caregiver or care partner, and I like to use the word care partner because a caregiver is constantly giving care, 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 care. A care partner is walking down the path together, side by side, and is trying to use the remaining abilities of the person that they are caring for so that that person with the dementia can feel good about what they are doing and about what they have left. And so by working on the positive aspects of the person that has dementia, instead of looking at what has been lost, because it's lost, you can't get it back. So keeping in the positive frame, adapting to their needs, it will make things easier for both of you. Now, that doesn't mean give up who you are. You may need to adapt what you did before the person developed the brain change. And one thing that the caregiver, care partner needs to look at is themselves. Because without that care partner, that person living with dementia may have problems. The person living with dementia looks at their caregiver as their rock, as their stake in the ground. I know where you are. And I've had people say, I have no time to myself. And this is very important, because then the care partner gets lost in the care and they forget who they are. So one needs to develop a team. So we would have Team Barbara and Team Connie. Draw a circle and put you in the middle. And this is your wheel. And now you're going to draw spokes. Who will be on your team? So immediately on that team, maybe you'll have a sister or a brother. And then look and see, how can they help you? Not everyone is a care partner. So those people who are not willing to be in with you as a care partner, maybe they can go and run errands for you. The people who are closer to you, maybe one of them can come over and give you an hour time so that you can rejuvenate yourself.
Respite.
Yes, because you need that. Well, then the care partner, they feel guilty because they're not at that person's side, especially if you have a husband and wife who's been devoted to each other for 100 years, you know, and they don't want to leave. And that's really hard, because then you have this guilt that's hanging over them if they do go out and do something for themselves.
So, Connie, how do you deal with the guilt How do you deal with not feeling badly when you do have to take that little bit of a respite? Because if you overwork yourself, then you're going to run yourself down and you will be no good for anyone.
Right. And it happens often that the person that is doing the care partner passes before the person with the dementia or the Alzheimer's because of the stress and how hard it is to do and the guilt and everything that's involved with it. It's just as hard for that person that's doing the caregiving, not just as hard as the person with dementia, but it's extremely difficult. That person who is the care partner needs to have somebody watching over them too or helping them out. But that's why we're doing what we're doing. I'm going to bring up the memory cafe that we just had. And that's the thing where the couple comes, and sometimes three people, because sometimes there's more than one person taking care of the person that has the dementia. And we put it out on the air to invite people to come to this. And I think there were 14 people that signed up for it, and there were 35 people that came. So the need is obviously there. And it's like Barbara also has support groups, and some of those people came to the first Memory Cafe. But that's growing, and we hope to have more. In the library, dealing with the staff and showing them what might happen with the person that comes in and how you can react to it. Understand that the training is very, very necessary. It's a big job because there really isn't a lot of information out there that people are aware of. And we know that now by putting the little bit that we're putting out, how much it's excited people and to know that there might be some help.
You are going to be hosting a Dementia and Caregivers Forum in October. What are they going to learn of this?
I've been involved with Tipa Snow probably since 2000, and she's demonstrating how to approach a person that has dementia, how to use your voice in calming them down, how to get close to them when they're yelling and carrying on, and what's happening in the brain yelling and carrying on. You need to know that as a care partner.
Right.
And not to take it personally. Tipa, as an occupational therapist as well, takes the medical background and explains what's happening in the brain when a behavior is happening and how we, as the care partner, can be creating that behavior and not knowing it. Mm. And so when we approach the person that has dementia in a more positive way, the behaviors decrease. Now, does that mean it's 100%? No, we're human.
So you have to have a lot of
different
strategies in the toolbox.
You need a toolbox. And something else, too, that's very important. Know the person you're working with. And if you're going to talk about person-centered care, what that means is you have done a historical review on that person, how they acted as kids, were they good students in school, what are their likes? What are their dislikes? How did those likes and dislikes change throughout? Reason being is that you can use that information, that person-centered information, to help diffuse an incident or help diffuse a possible problem. Early on in dementia, vision is affected. You go from being able to see peripheral vision down to scuba vision, down to binocular vision like this that's constricted down to monocular vision, and you lose depth perception. So you always approach from the front and get into their line of vision. If they're sitting, you get down low and extend your hand to give a handshake. And then from that, you go into hand under hand, and you're offering your support here to their hand on top. And then you can put your other hand on top of their hand and kind of squeeze a little bit. And then using your tone of voice in a rhythmic way, that rhythm can calm the person down because it's music.
And I think, too, one of the things that is important for people to know as well is they may be the child of someone living with dementia, but they don't live near them. But they still don't understand their parent or their grandparent, and this will give them a better understanding. Even if they're not the care partner themselves, they'll still understand a little bit more and maybe won't get quite as frustrated.
That's vital. Yeah. And that's what's so missing here is that education for the caregiver. This will help enormously.
A very enriching conversation, to be sure. Special thanks to Barbara Van Noortwijk and Connie DeLego of the Monroe County Dementia Coalition and Samantha Holbert of the Community Foundation of Monroe County. If you are interested in attending the Dementia Care and Caregivers Forum happening this month, you're more than welcome to call for more details, 570-236-3380. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.